Genesis 32, 1 through 12, these are God's words. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants. I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him, and the flocks and herds and camels, into two companies. And he said, "If Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company, which is left, will escape." Then Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, Yahweh, who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you,' I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, 'I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.'" So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. One of the great problems that Jacob has had to this point in his life, and one that is actually going to continue for much longer in his life, is a failure to know himself well and to know the Lord well. He has not been seeing his own unworthiness, and he has not been seeing the greatness of the Lord's grace to show him steadfast love and to show him faithfulness. That's why the heart of this passage is verse 10, when Jacob not only realizes but declares out loud, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant." Now, there are many things that the Lord uses to bring Jacob to this realization of his unworthiness, his sinfulness, and the realization of God's great grace and generosity in showing him steadfast love and faithfulness. And it does us well to see what the Holy Spirit highlights as these things that the Lord uses to bring Jacob to this knowledge, because he uses many of the same things in our own life. One is a reminder of previous encounters that we have had with God. So Jacob went on his way, verse 1, and the angels of God met him. And you remember where he had seen these angels of God before, when he had spent a day running as fast as he could, which is the reason why the only thing he had with him was a staff, because he was literally running for his life from Esau. And you remember he laid down and put his head on a stone. And in his dream, God gave him the vision in which he saw the angels of God ascending and descending upon the ladder or the stairway or the ramp into heaven. And so here is a reminder. Jacob sees them, and he said, "This is God's camp." Remember, he had called Bethel God's house. And so since he called Bethel God's house, and he saw the angels there on the ladder, now he sees he's met by a couple of angels in a place. And so when he meets them, he figures this is where God is camping. So one thing God uses to remind us of our unworthiness and to remind us of the greatness of his generosity are repeats or recalling to us our previous experience of him. Another thing is the presentation isn't the right word. The prospect, that's the word, the prospect of a difficulty Jacob has to cross over into the land of Canaan. But in the time that he has been with Laban, Esau has set up his family between Laban and Canaan. And so there is the prospect of a difficulty, and sometimes we'll coast along in life. And as we coast along in life, we'll be forgetful of God, and then he'll set before us, a difficult thing, a task, or a new duty, or something that requires, that is going to stretch us, as we harm. And so we realize that we need help, and then we realize that we've been getting help, and we realize that we haven't been noticing the help that we've been getting. We realize that our failure to notice the help that we've been getting is just one of many things that show our unworthiness of God's mercy, that we would not be mindful of him. So one thing that God uses to bring our attention, as he brings to Jacob's attention here, Jacob's own unworthiness and God's generosity, is the prospect of a difficult task. So we have the past experiences of God, the prospect of a difficult task, and then opportunity or to inventory the good that God has done for you. As he is going to send this message now to Esau, part of what he does is he summarizes the last 26 years of his life. And as he summarizes the last 26 years of his life, the summary is amazing. I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find favor in your sight. And he realizes just how much favor he has received in God's sight. For when he tells God about his own unworthiness in verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth you have shown to your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. And so he has a moment in which he has to recount the past year of what God has done for him. God gives us moments in which it is well and good and appropriate to recount what he has done for us. We do this sometimes on birthdays or anniversaries or the advent of a new year. I do it sometimes when I'm filing taxes or planning for the long term and thinking about what has happened the last few years. So moments in which we have to take inventory, and moments in which we are given that are appropriate in which to take inventory of all God's goodness to us. And it would be well for us if we had such a moment at the end of every day, because it does not take a year for the mercies of God to stack up, does it? Often they have stacked up greatly, even between when we woke that morning and when we went to bed that night. And as the scripture says, his mercies will be new the next morning. So we see in the recounting or remembering or re-experiencing past experiences of God's goodness and the prospect of a difficult task, and the moment of pausing and reflecting upon God's goodness, and then not just a difficult task, but also now great danger. Then the messenger returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau. Gave him your message that you don't need anything from him. You're not here to steal from him this time around, like he feels like you've been doing ever since you guys were in the womb." And this was his response. "He also is coming to meet you. And 400 men are with him." You remember in the days of Jacob and Esau's grandfather Abraham, there was a world war. And their great uncle Lot was captured in that world war because he was with one of the kings who was on the losing side. And Abraham, with 384 trained men of his house, went and defeated all of the nations that were in the coalition that had won the world war. And now Esau, the mighty hunter, is coming to Jacob, and he has with him a force that is greater than the force that had won the world war with Grandpa Abraham. And Jacob is, as he says, greatly distressed. Verse 7. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. So sometimes facing something that's very difficult, a task that is going to take some wisdom and some planning and some action, that'll be what God uses to get our attention for how needy we are and how generous he is and how unworthy we are of his generosity. And sometimes it's something that may not present so much as difficulty as it does as dangerous. And certainly Esau is presenting as very dangerous. And then the last thing, or last one that we are going to note, I think there would probably be others here, other ways that God calls us to see our unworthiness, calls us to see our neediness, calls us to see his generosity to those who are needy but unworthy, is the recalling of the word of God. This is very close to the recalling of the experience of God, and it probably comes in this case as a result of his seeing the angels and remembering the encounter that he had at Bethel. But he calls God, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Yahweh who said to me, return to your country, to your family. I will deal well with you. And then he repeats again, verse 12, for you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And so it's his remembering the promises of God that especially as he's realizing his unworthiness, he realizes that God responds more to his own promises and to his own faithfulness, even than to the worthiness of the one asking. And the reason is because in his promises and in his faithfulness, he has made Christ to be the worthiness of those who receive and believe in his promises. And so we too ought to meditate often upon God's word. And as we meditate upon his word, we're to remember that we're to see and hear and remember our unworthiness and our neediness and God's generosity and God's faithfulness to his promises, and that he makes Christ our worthiness. This is a theme that is through all the scripture. And so whether it's right now in family worship, as you hear this and you think about your own self and the things that God has put in your life, or whether it is in the preaching and teaching tomorrow on the Lord's Day, or whether it's in your own private worship, or it's when, it's when you're meditating upon God's word through the day, all of these are opportunities to remember the truth about yourself and the truth about God, for which he gives us experiences of him that are like those we've had in the past, and recall to mind our past experiences of God. He gives us the prospect of difficult tasks that he sets in front of us, and he gives us opportunities, moments in which it is appropriate to reflect upon the goodness of God towards us thus far. He gives us threats of danger, and he gives us the recall of his word and the remembrance that he is faithful to his promises, and he responds not to our worthiness in himself, but to his promises, his unfaithfulness, and especially his Son, our Lord Jesus, whom he has made to be our worthiness, so that our worthiness and his faithfulness would agree in Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of your word. We thank you that we are going to get to hear it preached tomorrow in the public worship. Thank you for helping me to see my own unworthiness and your generosity and Christ, and to understand what the Spirit says in this portion of Genesis. Pray that you would help us as we reflect and prepare, that our hearts would be ready to receive your word from heaven, from Christ, in the preaching tomorrow. That you would help also the rest of the congregation, the rest of those who will be gathered with us to hear this word, and that you would keep helping me as I prepare to be the servant through whom Christ speaks in the preaching. Bless it to us, we pray, and make us those who grow the rest of our lives in the knowledge of our unworthiness, the knowledge of Christ's worthiness on our behalf, the knowledge of our neediness, the knowledge of your abundant, steadfast love and faithfulness according to your promises, and the worthiness of Christ, whom you sent to be ours, and in whose name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.